What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
As you all know, it is Tuesday. You know what happens on Tuesday. Tuesday is Tech Tuesday. Tuesday is Eric Semmel's day. Eric from Tab Computer and the host of Computer Talk with Tab, which is right here Saturdays from 9 to 11 in the morning. Eric, it's good to see you. We have so much to talk about. And I got to start with this. What are digital escorts?
Digital escorts. Microsoft, in their infinite wisdom, has decided to use digital escorts to allow Chinese engineers to work on government cloud GCC high-based systems. So basically, digital escorts are, think of them as former, they have security clearances, high-level, maybe past NSA, CIA spooks, right? They have these high-level clearances, and they're allowed to work on government systems. So in Microsoft's infinite wisdom, instead of hiring American IT workers to work with these guys, they hired Chinese engineers. And you can't make this up.
I'm speechless because we're so worried about TikTok,
right,
and the Chinese infiltrating all of our information through TikTok. And here you have Microsoft giving access to our cloud to
Chinese engineers directly from China, in China. And the thing about it is the digital escorts actually are telling the Chinese engineers the issue that has to be dealt with, whether it be a firewall patch or some sort of software patch. And these Chinese engineers are then telling these people who do not understand technology, they happen to be NSA or CIA people, they don't understand technology, but they'll have the Chinese engineers tell them what to do. And then they could tell them to do anything. Open a patch, open a black door, what have you. And Microsoft is saying they're no longer going to use these things, they say.
Yeah, but smart.
The big thing about this latest story, which is in CSO, just talks about how finally the Pentagon. So here's the thing, John. The Pentagon assumed that the vendors would obviously not use non-American workers.
That they would vet the people.
They just assumed it. So as an IT company at Tab, we're working with the Connecticut manufacturers to protect all their networks, and they literally will have us put, in some cases, these manufacturers' emails and stuff on GCC high government cloud arrangements that cost triple what it normally would cost the regular companies, only to have Chinese engineers working on them. You can't make it up. And this is just...
And so now, finally, the Pentagon is launching an investigation.
Thanks
right?
to ProPublica. ProPublica broke the story. We need more actual
journalists
that actually look into this stuff, because, you know, I don't know about how cynical you are, but it doesn't seem like you have to look that hard. I mean, how many rocks you got to turn over to, hey, Microsoft, you're using Chinese engineers? Well, now that you mention it.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. One story is as crazy as the next. I want to ask you about, you know, these ransomware attacks. Yeah. We know the attacks are still happening and they're going to keep happening. But what's fascinating to me is that the victims, these companies, are still paying up. I mean, they're paying big dollars still to this day. Is there not a better way?
Well, that's the thing, right? So you first get ransomed, then they ask you for $1 million to be, let's say, decrypted. Now these companies are paying up more than once. So the bad guys pinky swear they won't do anything with the data. And then eventually they say, you know what? We might just send out the data everywhere. Pay us again. And they're doing that. So these companies are getting victimized multiple times by the same ransomware gangs or by other gangs where they sell the information to the other gang saying, hey, I pinky swore that I wouldn't let the data go. Here, you go ahead and ransom it now, and you go ahead and go after them. And these companies are paying over and over again. Of course, they're paying in Bitcoin, John, the fake money that we allow these guys to use to ransom us all day long. The same software and technology that helps us consume so much energy. To produce what? Nothing.
So what can companies do? I know this is the billion-dollar question, but what can companies do to foolproof their systems against ransomware attacks? There's nothing to foolproof, right?
Well, that's a big one. Yeah, if there was an answer to that, I wouldn't be right here.
You'd be on a beach somewhere.
Exactly. There's too many things to say. You have to train your people. You have to have 2FA on everything. You have to have good security patched constantly. Vulnerability scanning happening constantly. You have to not allow your people to go ahead and pay the ransom in the first place. You have to get rid of Bitcoin and the ability to pay the ransom. If the ransomware can't get paid, John, guess what they don't do anymore?
Yeah, they don't do it anymore if they're not making money.
Correct.
But they're making money hand over fist, so they're going to keep doing it.
That's where it has to stop. So we have to stop the ability for that money to be transferred.
So I saw a story recently, moving on, and this just, talk about, I was incredulous. So ChatGPT and Google, were they indexing all of the private chats that people were having with AI bots and asking them, what in the world?
And you'd volunteer to do that. So if you had a chat with OpenAI, you actually had a checkbox that you could select to allow your chat to be indexed by Google. And so then whatever you started, this started back in 2023, then people would go ahead and put their questions in, their inquiries, whatever they may be, John. Who knows what you might be asking? And you can go ahead and search it and find that. Now, it would be anonymous to a point, right? Now, if you gave information about yourself, more detailed information about yourself within the chat, that information would be searchable by Google. So Google is now saying they're going to remove the option because people are getting ridiculously open and honest about whatever they're asking ChatGPT. You've seen all the you were in America's Most Wanted, right? You see all the search histories of people trying to figure out how to kill their husbands or wives or what have you.
Oh yeah,
imagine what they're asking in ChatGPT.
Happens all the time. Well, not only that, but the pieces like in the New York Times recently about people who have ChatGPT girlfriends and boyfriends and their love affairs and they're actually having intimate relationships with chatbots. Can you imagine if all of that came out and it was searchable? My goodness.
So finally, they're going to make it unsearchable. But Bing and the other folks still have the information.
Oh, my goodness. So much going on in your world. I did want to ask you about, too, this case down in Florida where the juries found Tesla partially responsible for the death of somebody as it relates to their autopilot system. What do you make of that?
It's a no-brainer. I mean, I'm a fan of Elon Musk over time. I've become more and more of a fan of what he's done. But he oversold and has over-marketed the word autopilot on the car. Mm-hmm. And this guy who ended up striking, a couple of folks with his autopilot-enabled Tesla at 70 miles an hour after it blew through stop signs, blew through lights because he was fishing around on the floor for his phone, assumed again. You know what assuming does.
Yeah.
And he basically killed these folks, and the jury said, you know what, Tesla's responsible, and I definitely agree. You cannot sell something to people. And why would anybody believe any technology is that good to be able to fish around for your phone on the floor of your car while you're doing 70 miles an hour is beyond me. That person obviously has some other screws loose, but Tesla was partially responsible for this, according to the jury, and they're going to have to cough up $42 million of this.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's how the jury awards it.
Well, Tesla has the money, having offered Elon Musk, I think, $24 billion yesterday to retain him as the head of the company. But I know we only have about 30 seconds, but I was remiss. I didn't ask you about the other Microsoft story, which is that, how do they have access to turn off a country's cloud access? They recently did it in India, I think.
Yeah, Microsoft disconnected an Indian company's email because they are part of the sanctions against Russia. It turns out this Indian company is partially owned by this Russian oil company, and Microsoft complied with the sanctions. Here's the issue with sovereignty and where your cloud is existing. In the old days, you had your server in your four walls of your business. Microsoft couldn't turn it off because the government said to. Now, if you're using a cloud, Microsoft has that reach to say, well, someone told us to turn it off. Click, no more email. That can happen with any of your cloud systems, and the EU is already talking about sovereignty. And even now, Microsoft is offering a Microsoft 365 on-premise solution to deal with this in the future, because countries and businesses say, look, I can't trust this to be able to run my company that way.
Smart. Nutty. Well, Eric, you and I could talk for hours, especially when your mic is on.
It helps.
And I apologize. That's my bad as a rookie. he is Eric Semmel, Tab Computer. You can listen to Computer Talk with Tab Saturdays, 9 to 11 a.m. Thanks for your time, Eric.
Thank you, John. Nice to see you.
Hey,
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.